Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and I want to welcome you to the Connected Insurance Podcast presented by Agency Revolution, creators of the most powerful marketing and communication software built specifically to meet the needs of insurance agencies and brokerages. My friends, if you haven't had a demo in the last couple of months, get one. The upgrades have blown my mind. Again, I want to welcome you to this episode. Keith Savino is my guest, a name that's probably familiar to an awful lot of insurance agents and brokers. And a lot of people can probably sleep better knowing that Keith is fighting so hard. So full disclosure, Keith has been a client of mine, I think, for 15 or 20 years. He is, of all of the agents, the 10,000 plus agents that have been in one form or another clients of mine, I don't know anybody that has given more, flown more miles, attended more meetings, served on more boards, served as the leader of more boards than Keith Savino. He's given so much. And I'm going to give you just a teeny taste of some of the contributions that he's made. He currently serves as the president of the National PIA. And past president of the New Jersey PIA. He has served on the executive council of Augie, the Associations and User Group Information Exchange, and he was a founder of Augie. He was the president of the EBIX User Group, and he was chair of NetView, the network of Vertafore users, and he was on the board of Accord. The list goes on. And it's remarkable that one person can deliver so much value to an industry in such a compressed short period of time. We cover a lot of ground in this. Keith's perspective on the industry is deep, it is long, and it's passionate. He cares. So I'm going to pull the curtain back right now and give you the opportunity to enjoy this conversation without further ado with Keith Savino. Keith Savino, how are you today?
Michael, I'm awesome.
All righty. Well, first of all, thanks so much for joining us. Secondly, full disclosure, Keith, you and I go back, I don't know if it's 20 years, but it wouldn't surprise me if it is. So, could be a little bit like
that's
a couple of
us older.
And so much wiser. All righty. So number one, I want to congratulate you on achieving another pinnacle in the industry, the chair of PIA National. Congratulations on that. And I say another chair because in some ways, Keith, you've served as a transformative leader in the industry for, as far as I know, most of your career. And it's certainly, this is not your first rodeo. So first thing I'm going to ask you is, if you would, tell us a little bit about Keith Savino and how you got to be who you are today.
Oh, boy. That's always a tough question. I wish that I had the 25-cent version of it, but, I did not start in the insurance industry. It was my 30th year actually in the business. So maybe I know you 2/3 of my time now. And for 30 years, I've been engaged in trying to help to drive the industry forward in a variety of ways. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that I came from a technology background before I was in the insurance business. But interestingly enough, a lot of people don't know, I came from a real heavy-duty sales background. Mm-hmm. So I actually worked for MCI Telecom. So I worked in the telephony industry for a couple of years. And I was in New York City. I was one of their direct sales reps on the streets of New York City.
And back in the that was back in the day when things were really rocking and rolling in telecom, right? I mean, it was, right?
If, you want to talk about revolutionary?
Yeah.
It absolutely was. This was effectively back, you know, around the breakup of the phone company before it. Now, this won't make sense to most people, because when I say break up the phone company, they think of what phone company? My cell phone company? No. These were in the days when you had a wired line and you had a cord coming off the end of the phone. And, you know, businesses spent insane amounts of money, you know, on their long-distance calls and their local calls.
But right.
Effectively, we solved those problems. And so I would work with, you know, commercial accounts and move them forward with solutions, and frequently working with the other services. So there were some major accounts that I had that were, you know, not only in the U.S. but also international. So you would leverage those relationships. Then I was actually a headhunter for high-tech electronics companies.
Oh, that yeah, that's right.
Medical instruments companies, digital testing, what they call digital back there, and Department of Defense work, things like that, and that was really awesome because you got to interact with some of the smartest folks there, and you're always talking about the newest, greatest thing that they were working on or selling or building. And then I also spent a little time in advertising before ending up in the insurance industry. And that little time, by the way, was valuable to me for the whole 30 years because I learned a lot about, you know, the three types of advertising, how do you get your messaging across. And,
mm-hmm.
and again, I was in a sales role. And the very first thing that happened when I entered the insurance industry was my brother and I had originally been planning to get together in the business. It took me a little while longer. He had started on the life insurance side, and
right.
when I walked in the door, he said, you know, I bought these computers like 6 months ago. They're called Redshaw. You know, I don't know what to do with it. Would you mind, you know, cracking those boxes open? And maybe that's something, you know, that would be helpful. And I had already used computers heavily with MCI Telecom.
So that agency had invested in technology. They just didn't get it out of the box.
Absolutely. And those were the days when a lot of carriers would actually buy you the systems that they had invested in because they wanted you to, you know, to use them. But this was not a check that was written by a carrier. This was a check that was written by the agency. Nobody was big enough to, you know, get somebody to buy us a system. So all the investment that we made for the next couple of years was completely and totally our own. The other thing that was cool about it is I didn't know what you didn't know.
Yeah.
So we were doing things on large commercial accounts, large construction accounts, that most folks, we later on, we found out were telling us we were insane, right, to try to do.
Right.
But what it did is it enabled us to grow and be very efficient at a time when everyone was living out of paper files. We were not. And that evolved. So I was with a couple of different firms in my history. The firm that I'm currently a managing partner of, which is known as Broadfield Insurance, Warwick Resource Group is also a name that most people would know, same
mm-hmm.
company,
mm-hmm.
You know, dates back to 1864. But it was about 18 years ago that I got involved with helping to take this firm from where it was, which effectively was a startup for my brother and I. You know, we ran parallel
right.
to... by 2015 had pretty much grown about 10x. The period of time, you know, in the 90s and the 2000s that ran parallel to that you're referring to is also my industry engagement. So in that period of time, I had become involved with the PIA in New York City as a young insurance professional in Manhattan. And then ultimately moved to Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and I got involved with an organization called the CPIA, Certified Professional Insurance Agents, now known as the AIMS Society, and
right.
ultimately was very involved in their sales-wise success seminars, helping to write and create and present those. It was perfect training. What a great way to work with yourself. And back then, there was a management system called, and I became president of that organization. There was a management system, Delphi Information Systems, which became Ebix, and I became president of that user group in probably around 2000-ish. And also, I was very involved with Accord. So all of those things sort of led to how do you do business better and more efficiently? So when you, as an agent, when you're using systems, sometimes you make the mistake of raising your hand and saying, have you ever thought, or do you think we could do this better? And unfortunately, that usually leads to getting voluntold or railroaded onto groups or boards. And I did end up besides Accord groups, on the Accord Board of Directors between 2004 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually vice chair of standards and vice chair of the board. And the reason why, getting into the reasons why I evolved at that point in time to other groups, but during that period of time, I was also the chairman of NetView, which was the Network of Vertafore Users. So we had migrated our systems. I've always been involved with almost all the systems over a period of time. It didn't matter to me whether it was Applied or Vertafore or Hawksoft or I'll leave somebody out or EasyLinks or Peel. Didn't matter to me. Those were all great solutions that independent agents needed to embrace, you know, for their own purposes, depending upon their size, their expertise, their demographics, you know, but doing nothing was just not an option, in my opinion. So I felt that Accord was a great way to help work with all of those vendors over a period of time. And we did create a group called Augie, which was at that time the Accord User Group Information Exchange. Today it stands for the Associations and User Group Information Exchange. And I was one of the founders of that. You and I have known each other during these periods of time, and so you always knew that I was involved with the PIA at a state level. And then eventually my state had elected me as a national director.
Uh-huh.
And then on the national board, I was elected to the executive committee, and that's what leads me to 2018 here as the this year's president of PIA National.
President. Question for you. So, Keith, as you know, I ran an affiliate of the PIA on the West Coast, okay? So we had most of the Western states. That was a long time ago. I had been a nonprofit executive prior to that in the early part of my career, and then became a certified association executive, and then I guess you could say left that part of my career behind. But nonetheless, I've always had a lot of respect for associations and what happens when like-minded people can come together and support the industry and push for appropriate change. It does seem that clearly, like so much of the world has been changed, it seems like association management has changed as well. People have some other online opportunities to satisfy some of the things that associations have done in the past. So on one hand, it does seem like it is a world that, the association management or association volunteering has changed. So now you're in a position as, what could be called the head volunteer, right? Now that you're in that position, I want to ask, what are your hopes and dreams for the National Association during your administration?
That's a great question. I'd like to think that it's a culmination of a lot of years of being an insurance agent and broker, right? So I'm dedicated to the independent agency distribution channel.
Mm-hmm.
So my focus is generally on doing everything possible to make sure that distribution channel benefits by a community.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, associations are communities of agents and brokers, and frankly, of all sizes. Sometimes, certain associations get sort of pigeonholed into, well, this is good for these guys. And honestly, Michael, over the past few years, and maybe we'll talk about this, that has changed tremendously. I would encourage folks to look at the current exec comm of PI National.
Well, I am curious about this because I have, obviously I'm in touch with a lot of agents. And so, some observations about how some things are changing. So I'll share one and I want your feedback on this one. A number of my clients and some of the people that I've interviewed as guests of this podcast have been while the size of their agency or the age of their agency the size maybe not huge, age not very old, but the annual growth rate, something that that a lot of other sort of more well-established agencies would froth at the mouth for. So I'm curious about that. It seems like a lot of the there are a lot of, they're not necessarily startups, but younger agencies that are being run by younger people who have not just a thirst for marketing, but some sort of fundamental understanding of it and how to use current technologies. They're making an imprint on this industry. Are you seeing that at the association level?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I think that so what you're talking about is the range of folks participating in the insurance community,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
and,
right.
Michael, I've been involved with different groups over the years, so I often find myself saying, let me take off the logo for a moment. I'm frequently a fan of saying we're all part of an insurance community together,
mm-hmm.
and then the community creates those things which are important to itself. Right. And the community's created, you know, the associations because, hey, you know, together we're stronger.
Right.
And
yep.
communities created work groups to work on problems and drive priorities in our industry because together we're stronger. And there's just a long laundry list of ways in which that has benefited agencies who don't even know that that they have been the recipients of this great work.
Right.
Because
of
political reasons. Right. Because of. Things that, you know, great volunteers have done to make sure that the regulatory environment continues to remain, you know, good for the consumer, good for the agent. You know, we can continue to look out for our local constituents in our towns. Or because you're volunteering for something, I'll use examples of technology where, you know, things that folks have today like personal lines or commercial lines download or real time or claims download or e-doc send or messages,
mm-hmm.
Commission statement downloads, all of that came out of agents' wants and needs as a community, right? Not because somebody else said, hey, I've got an idea, guys. Why don't you do it this way, right? It frequently came out of the wants and needs. Now, the folks who volunteer for those groups are often some of the youngest and brightest in our business who are willing to raise their hand and get engaged. So it's not just about somebody getting engaged that says, hey, I think one day I want to be president of my state association, right? That world has changed a lot since I got involved in some of these groups.
Uh-huh.
What hasn't changed, and some of that, by the way, Michael, has to do with, you know, how many years of a commitment that is and so forth, right? But what hasn't changed is that the community, the folks who are saying that they want to work together and collaborate,
right,
is as strong as ever. The communication channels may change. So now people might post notes on Facebook to each other about this great idea, where 10 years ago they were on a conference call, and 10 years before that they were sitting in a meeting room, right?
Yeah.
So you still require the community, but the media, the vehicles have changed. So that same community getting together right now and speaking about how important it is for us to, I don't know, I'll use this e-doc send or messages piece that's so important at the moment. The way that doing real-time transactions was really important, you know, 2000 to 2005, right? And I am involved, you know, in helping to drive this piece. Now, is that just a PIA issue? Is a nephew issue? It's all of the above. Because it's the entire insurance community that can participate, and the entire insurance community that of course will be driving adoption. Some of the folks who were the youngest in our business often didn't get the voice many years ago. I knew that was an issue. I was one of the youngest agency principals that I knew years ago. And
today
I'm still one of the youngest agency principals that I know.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, you know, everything that I can do to bring youth and diversity into the industry to get them engaged in these types of activities are super important.
What would you say to the insurance agent who, younger or older, maybe doesn't matter, but like every entrepreneur, they got plenty to do, right? You know, like, okay, I'm showing up at work. I got 12 hours of work to do today. And then I can, you know, I'll knock off half of my to-do list. What would you say to somebody like that who's, you know, wants to find, you know, like, yes, I want to participate in the community, but I need some balance here.
Right. So one of the greatest benefits of participating in these communities is not just the servitude to the industry, but it's actually the rewards that you reap back.
Got it.
Without a doubt, when I got into this industry, I did not come into the industry and said, hey, let me participate with others. In fact, when I first came into the industry, remember, I came out of some industries that were not as collaborative. In fact, they were very, competitive, dog, don't talk to your competitor
conversation.
So it was a little unusual to say, geez, wait, these folks are collaborating. Well, that's why, for the first few years of being in the business, when I started working with others, I'm like, wow. And the nice part about it is what you don't know will hurt you. So when you can find others that have insurance knowledge and expertise, then you can absorb that. Being part of a community allows you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, so for that person who's wondering whether or not they should be involved, and I may not say this right, but there's no question that you get back far more than you do. And anyone who believes for a moment that if you're involved in an association or a group, that means somehow you're not doing your job every day is so missing the point. Because, in fact, I would argue if you're not involved in some community at some level in the insurance industry, then you are missing out on some very important subject matter expertise.
Yeah, okay, good point.
And knowledge transfer.
Uh-huh.
And you are going to make a lot of mistakes because you think you're smarter than the average bear. And that's why there's mastermind groups. That's why, heads of state get together around the world. That's why the C-suite will meet and be involved with boards. This is not an uncommon approach to common problems in industry. It's not an insurance industry specific thing. Builders and remodelers get together and talk about issues regarding building homes. Lawyers get together and talk about issues regarding, solving the needs of their clients. Accountants get together. Doctors get together, right? Doctors read each other's white papers so they can learn from each other. That's all I'm speaking about here, right? So if you get up every day and you go to work in your agency and you don't get involved at all, then you are missing out on an important part of education in this business.
Got it.
Call
all right.
It, grad school.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm taking notes. All right. So let's talk about, now this industry that we are in. Of course, there's a lot that's the same as it was 25 years ago, but there's a lot that's different. And I don't think, we probably need to talk. We don't need to spend a lot of time on how is it different? Well, there are new technologies. Consumer behavior has changed. And, now we have emerging insurtech technologies that are attempting to do various somethings to the industry. So in this environment right now, I'm going to ask you a few questions and you can give me short answers, long answers. First question. Given the state of the industry and given the state of change about the independent insurance agency channel, optimistic or pessimistic?
I'm very optimistic.
And that's because?
Well, I passionately believe that the independent agency distribution channel has been growing for the past few years, not shrinking. Good examples. Many of the carriers that were exclusively direct to consumer are now doing everything they can to find important local agents that they can appoint that already have an influence on a community that they want to serve.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I believe that there's only one carrier that maybe left of, if we went back 20 years ago and said, who were the top 20 carriers writing direct to consumer that had agents, right? Or not. I think there's only one now that doesn't have any independent agents.
Okay.
So frequently they're shared.
Right.
I also believe that the direct to consumer space from those who are a one carrier, one line of business solution is incredibly competitive and incredibly jam packed. And gaining entry into that space is an insane investment.
Where do you think, because of the what you just said, that the direct to consumer channel is jam packed, And, you know, presumably they're good at it, right? Okay. So, I mean, there's a channel.
Well, we're direct to consumers, independent agents.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is
carrier, right.
One carrier, one line of business solution.
Yeah. Right? Okay. So we all know.
Multi-carrier, multiple line of business solution. So there is a place. For
uh-huh.
everyone is my point.
Got it. Okay. Right. So there is a place for everyone. And I think there's probably a pretty strong argument. If you kind of look at the sort of the general landscape of industrial economics and psychographics, there's a match between different channels and different consumer groups. Not every consumer is the same. So given the fact that, let's say, the direct channel plays over here and maybe some insurtech channels play over here and so on and so forth, where do you think the independent agency channel is going to shine the most in the future?
So first, I want to take the term insurtech and just throw it on the side, because that's no different than saying dot-com boom to me or something.
Yeah, circle back to that.
So,
okay.
Yeah, we'll circle back to that, because I think that requires.
And we will. Yeah. All right.
I'm sure that we will. The different strokes for different folks, right, Michael?
Yeah.
If I'm going to roll out a product tomorrow and I want to invent a new insurance product, I could say I'm going to, you know, put this into marketing, I'm going to sell it online and so forth. And that's great. And there are many people who start with them. By the way, I'm a fan of that. As you know, I've been a proponent of, you know, digital distribution and insurance for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that that's as part of an overall strategy to solve the needs of the consumer, which does include the ability of having local representation.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, as many agents will say, hey, we have really, really good service, but then the joke usually follows, oh, so does everybody else. So I believe that it's agents that embrace digital technology as a way of rounding out the products and services that they offer to their constituents,
uh-huh.
to their prospects,
yeah.
and consumers, are the ones that are providing the best of both worlds. So if the big delivery of that brand new carrier who's going to do it digitally is, hey, you can go on your mobile phone, you can get a quote, and then you can bind it. And then if you have a claim, we'll pre-serve claims, and we'll do this, and we'll do that. I welcome that. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And there's a few reasons why, all right? It will wake some sleeping giants. There's no question about that. A little disruption does that. It also drives innovation, and it also sometimes helps some agents who have been raising their hands saying, you know, we should be doing this.
Yeah.
Go, look, I've been saying this for years, we should be doing this. This other person's doing it too.
Yeah. So let's roll that forward. So, you know, pick a number. We can say 5 years or whatever. What do you think the agency of the future looks like? The successful agency of the future looks like, that's different than most agencies today?
Well, for one, let's use the term relationship.
Yep.
And I'm going to say that insurance has been a relationship business, and it will be a relationship business, because
uh-huh.
people like to do business with people that they believe they have a relationship with. That said, let's define what a relationship is. So if you look at generational gaps, a relationship between two folks texting each other may be perceived as less of a relationship from those who are used to
mm-hmm.
not doing it that way.
Right.
However, that is still a relationship.
Uh-huh.
And it is just as important to that person to have that relationship with someone else than to not, right? No one's an island. So I believe that an agency will effectively do a few things. One, they're going to self-select into and out of certain demographics and markets based upon what they do and do not offer. So if I'm an agent and I do not offer a client portal, I do not offer the ability to text my clients.
Mm-hmm.
I do not offer after hours, you know, services. I do not offer all the lines of business that I should be offering. In other words, new and emerging lines as they come out. I would use examples of, you know, making sure cyber is offered to your commercial clients, or even in personal lines now, you know, offering those
right.
coverages. If
yeah.
you're not offering those things, then you will self-select out of all the clients that ultimately need those as part of selecting who they're going to do business with.
Uh-huh.
That sound fair enough, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you can't do something for me, then I will not choose you. to do business, right? Insurance to me is kind of like food and transportation, right? You can eat, you have to eat, right? You should have insurance, and you have to have insurance, right? In some cases, okay? What you choose to eat and where you choose to eat is often driven by what you like to eat. Do you know the owner of the restaurant? Or is this a quick drive-by? I got 5 minutes to eat. Let me have fast food. But to believe for one moment, you know, when McDonald's was becoming popular, you know, back when, that they had built the most efficient way to deliver a hamburger to the window when you walked up. You could probably make the argument, wow, they just solved the entire food problem. We don't need any other restaurant.
Yeah, right.
or any other way of doing food. And that's sometimes, I think, the sort of, you know, knowledge gap that I think misses, is that if it was just about building this efficient distribution model, then I would say McDonald's solved it for food. Why are there any other restaurants?
Yeah, right. Why didn't Morton's go out of business when McDonald's took off? And in fact, that's when it exploded in growth.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. So,
by waking up the other
two. Got it. Okay. So I'm going to try to summarize what you just said. Number one, it's a relationship business, which means you need to be in communication. And ideally, you have the capability, the capacity, using appropriate technologies to communicate the way the marketplace wants you to and individual people want you to. Right? That's the future. Okay. And that emphasis on the term relationship and it. Do you think that's more important in our channel than some other channels?
Well, frankly, I think that if you do everything you can to build relationship out, you'll find that out quickly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And again, you'll self-select.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an example. Your accounting firm will self-select into or out of based upon products and services plus relationship, right? Your law firm, based upon their level of expertise, relationship, talent. Same is going to exist with your physicians and your doctors. You're going to get to choose who you want to do. So those are professional services. Changing from one of those professionals to another is not a pleasant experience.
Never.
Right? When I use those just as an example.
I'm still using the professional relationships I had in Oregon because they're just hard to change. Right.
That's the point, right? So that's what we define as retention. The same arguments can be made around, you know, those things which you do at some frequency, you know, purchase a vehicle. You know, it's amazing how folks will buy the same brand over and over again. They do have a bit of a relationship with that brand. Maybe it's because they like the service manager, right? And so on. And so what I'm saying is that if it was just about, you know, buying it, cheapest, fastest, done, we would all be driving Yugos.
Got it. All right.
Didn't work so well.
Yeah.
And by the way, we would also, and I remember when I was working for MCI Telecom in New York City, there was a major coffee place around Herald Square that had a 99-cent bottomless cup of coffee, and you got a piece of Raisin Toast with that, with cream cheese, perhaps, right?
Yeah.
And across the street, there was a new coffee place that was opening that was charging $3 for a cup of coffee. That place stayed in business. The other one went out.
Yeah. How about that? All right. We could spend a lot of time on that one, but I want to move on. But I hope people...
That's fun marketing.
Take note of that one.
Yeah.
All right. So let's circle back to something we set aside in InsurTech. So, you know, as you know, I was at the InsurTech conference. It was at the MGM Grand. I think I was there with you a year ago at the AppliedNet conference, and there were maybe 3,500 people at that one a year ago. And then what was it, 4,000 or 5,000 a week later at the InsurTech conference. And then this year, 6,000, roughly 6,000 people attending the InsurTech conference. So it's a big word. It's a big term. It's a very big tent. I think the conference is probably a pretty good cross section of VC and PE and startups and insiders and outsiders and, you know, pretty much everybody who wanted to kind of rally around that InsurTech maypole. What do you think it's going to do? What do you think it means to our channel?
Well, for one, I can tell you that for the past 15 years, technology conferences that I've attended have always been greater attended than most of the other industries.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So, I mean, I've talked about this before. Yeah, go back to the early days when you and I were, you know, newer in the industry, and the big conferences were PIA National or the Big I National. And then, you know, they became the big conferences became the technology conferences. And,
right.
And often, you know, ones that were sponsored by one vendor, but in this case, right. Not. You know, this was the big tent. So,
and to that end, you know, and I'm happy to say, you know, like PI National probably 20 years ago made the decision, wait a second, we shouldn't be a national conference. This is a business meeting.
Yeah.
Among our volunteers that are going to do things, whether it be lobbying or mm-hmm. whatever else.
Right.
It wasn't a vendor showcase, mm-hmm. so to say. We used to get 3,000 to 4,000 attendees or more at the Accord conference.
And right
on. An industry standard setting body,
yeah,
right?
But right.
People use that as a gateway to get in front of carriers, vendors, agents and brokers, or, you know, distribution channel, how uh-huh. we want them to do it, because it was life as well as health annuities and property and casualty and bonds and surety. And it was international. We had folks from all over the globe that would come to those meetings. And you're right, you know, the conferences like the Applied Net Conference and Net, right?
Yeah.
Have grown to thousands and thousands of attendees. And it's wild because the same agency principals are now walking around those meetings, but they're coming armed with their CTO or their CIO, and they're armed with their commercial lines manager.
Yeah, right.
And their account. It used to just be an accounting thing, right? That's where the IT guys went, and that's where the accounting people went. Now it's about customer experience and CRM and all the rest of that.
Mm-hmm,
and I think
mm-hmm.
that's what it's about. So when the InsurTech conferences now start to work, and now you've got, I know the one you're referring to, which is awesome. I love the concept that at some frequency, our industry goes through a bit of disruption or evolution
uh-huh.
that allow the sleeping giants to wake up, but it also drives innovation. And that means that there are people with ideas who are more readily listened to during these times in our industry evolution. You know, we're a conservative industry. We're a little risk averse by nature.
Mm-hmm.
So in between these times, like in between the dot-com boom and now, right, it's kind of like, yeah, no, we don't need to mess with the system, right?
Yeah.
But these times provide a platform for new ideas. It also provides an opportunity for, you know, outsiders to sort of get connected to an industry. So frequently what you'll have is you'll have a bunch of outsiders say, hey, because I'm not part of the insurance industry, I've got these great ideas, you know, listen to me, give me some money, and I'll build my stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there's hundreds, if not, you know, thousands of ideas out there that most of them have good merit. The ability for us to talk about it openly in an industry where you have outsiders is so important. So I love the idea of those. But here's the evolution of that. If you went back to the dot-com boom, we went through this as well. Outsiders came into our industry
right.
and said, hey, we know how to do it better. We are going to disintermediate the insurance agent and broker. And I know I've sat at meetings and watched folks on stage speak about that. Within about 2 years, many of those folks now had somebody from within the industry working for them, working with them.
Right.
And that person within the industry would say, hey, now we've got so-and-so on our side. Couldn't wait to put a press release out about it. And by the way, we're also going to be delivering these solutions to independent agents to use. It started uh-huh. with the direct channel.
Yeah,
now
right.
Oh, wait a second. Why? Because there's a lot of seats.
Yeah.
People buy products, right?
Uh-huh.
And then ultimately what happened is the outsiders realized that in order for them to succeed in the insurance industry, they needed advocates in the insurance industry. They kind of needed insiders in the industry. And most of those that started on the outside end up becoming an important and viable part of the inside of the industry. So there are some vendors that started on the outside
right.
during the dot-com boom. And for those that are still around, because unfortunately that was kind of an ugly time for technology,
mm-hmm.
for many that came to a screeching mm-hmm. halt in March of 2000. But, you know, for years later, the evolution and the impact on the systems that we use, you could still see the fingerprints all over it. Some of those vendors were bought or acquired by many of the vendors that we use today.
Right.
Some of them grew to be some of the vendors that we use today.
Mm-hmm.
I remember standing in an Accord conference and a sales rep who used to work for one of the companies goes, I've got this idea. We're going to aggregate this data, and we're going to do this and do that. And I will tell you, they're probably one of the largest rating vendors in the country right now.
Yeah.
And it all started with, hey, I've got an idea. So fast forward to the InsurTechs today. A couple of years ago, we're throwing around the word disruptor like crazy. Because it's an InsurTech, it sounds like it's an attack on the insurance industry.
Yeah, right.
It's not. To me, it's another step in the evolution.
There was a big trade show there, and there were plenty of vendors who were agent friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were, you know, plenty of those who were not agent friendly.
And you'll see more of those too.
Right. Yeah.
And with any luck, you will see more of all of them. And again, many of those that seem to be not agent friendly on the surface, eventually, you know, they have to go from a pre-revenue model to a post-revenue model, right? It's not just about raising capital. It's actually about having a product, being successful. And yeah. Many all realize one day, wait a second. So if I take software and I call myself an InsurTech, but now I'm selling insurance, oh, wait a second, I need to have a license. And if I'm selling insurance, I need to have appointments.
Right.
And if I'm selling insurance, I need to be able to do service. I need to have people do things. Wait a second. I just became an independent agent.
How about that?
So most of those that are saying that they're not, they're actually going to become the very thing that they say that they're not. So effectively, if an independent agent took the same philosophy and said, wait a second, I already have the carrier relationships. I already have the support staff. What we need to do is change our thinking to provide a rounded customer experience mm-hmm. for our clients.
Yeah.
You already have 80% of the challenge. What you need to do is either build, buy, or rent the technology that allows you to take your agency to the next level. That's the difference. And, you know, look, we're living in a world where just a couple of months ago at the Applied Conference, a quote-unquote outsider to the insurance industry just became an insider
right.
in the insurance industry.
Right on.
So, you know, my goal in the future is to put the insurance back into InsurTech.
Okay. Well, that's a perfect segue to my last question for you, Keith. A little elbow in the ribs for you here. I'm going to ask you to keep the answer short because this question works better when the answer is short. All right. let's call this the insurance highway question. The industry's speeding down the highway at 75 miles an hour and Keith gets a billboard, right? So 8 or 10 words, after that, they won't be able to read it. If you had an opportunity to deliver a message that mattered and kind of, you know, woke people up to something now, what's the message that you want to deliver to the independent insurance agent of today?
Relationship, customer experience, digital, plus the buy button.
Okay. Hang on, because I am taking notes. Relationship, customer service. Did you say digital?
Customer experience.
Customer experience.
Be digital.
Be digital.
Embrace the buy button.
And what the buy button?
Embrace.
Okay. So, last questions often lead to the next last question.
No, the first one is relationship.
Yeah, no, I got that. I got that. So you ended with embrace the buy button. And I'm going to ask you to speak on that for
everyone
a moment.
Everyone always remembers what you start with and what you end with. The meat in the middle, no one remembers.
Yeah, okay. So relationship, customer experience, be digital. Yeah, so these are good. But the last one is, it might be a mystery to some people. So this is your chance. Talk about the buy button.
By the way, the last one really should be serve your industry. So we'll make that the fourth one and make the embrace the buy button the fifth one. but that's probably part of the relationship piece.
Okay.
You know, the buy button is the ability to begin and end a transaction
yeah.
in your system of choice. And what that means is that I want to be able to start a conversation with my client.
Okay.
I want to be able to end that conversation with my client
mm-hmm.
and be able to deliver solutions to them. That is the holy grail in our business.
So what's the problem that solves?
Well, good for the relationship.
Uh-huh.
It allows you to be digital, right?
Right.
And it allows you to deliver a really great customer experience.
Because otherwise, if I was the client, let's say the bad experience is I call Keith, I say, hey, we got to do, you know, this, I need this or whatever. And what happens to me in the bad experience?
So in the bad experience, the hours that we spend together are spent almost completely on dealing with the friction that the insurance industry brings upon us.
Okay.
As opposed to the hours that we spend together are really quality time around identifying exposures, solving the problems, and building rapport. The mechanics of our industry are just scattered, right?
Yeah.
So if I think for a moment, even just completing an application could take 2, 3, or 4 different systems because, you know, one prints, you know, a court app, another one prints company, you got another one. So just doing that. And, oh, by the way, who's digital, who's not? So if my biggest concern for the independent agents, think of the threat, is that ability to deliver the beginning and the end of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If I call a direct writer right now and they get on the phone with me, they're going to go, Keith, it's been nice chatting with you today. We spent, you know, the past whatever period of time, it doesn't matter whether it's 10 minutes or 45, and I'm happy to offer you the following solutions based upon our conversation. And they would tell me, you know, would you prefer the, you know, $10 a week plan or the $15 a week plan and wait until I said something, right? That is, you know, insurance sales 101. In an independent agency world, the challenge is that now if I'm speaking to you, Mike, and you're my agent, you're going to go, Keith, it's been nice chatting with you today. I really enjoyed this conversation. I think I have everything that I need. If I have any other questions, I'll give you a call back, and I'll get back to you in a few days with some quotes.
Got it.
Could you imagine going and shopping for a expensive vehicle, driving it, coming back into the lot, and the sales rep says, Michael, it's been great. Thanks for stopping by today. I'll give you a call in a few days.
But I want that car.
How successful do you think that dealership would be?
Right.
Probably not that much. So what was acceptable, right, because clients were trained that this was the process. What was acceptable in the 90s is not acceptable in the 2000s, will not be acceptable after 2020. And so we're leading towards that. And I really do believe that by the 2020, we need to have that beginning and ending in place. And that doesn't mean you can't offer solutions for 7, 8, 9, 10 lines of business. You should be able to.
Right on.
Should be able to.
So,
in fact, you'll do a better job if you have that ability.
Keith, I know that you've been actively advocating for the introduction of a buy button into the industry, an effective buy button into the industry. I think if I'm in conversation with another industry leader and I mention Keith Savino, you know, as often as not, somebody will say, yeah, buy button. Clearly you're looking at a transformative change that requires an industry to pay attention, there's not some person, right, who's going to say, yeah, I'm going to code a buy button, right? You need pretty broad participation. Agents who, like, concur with you, that also share your passion for that, what do you want to ask them to do?
For one, raise their hand.
Okay.
Jump in the water is fine. The buy button is as much of a movement as it is anything else. We're going to count on all of this exciting time around InsurTech for vendors to say, hey, you know what? I want in. This sounds like something that I can help to make happen, right? And we want to help folks implement it. Because it's going to vary by state and by line of business and so forth. There's plenty of room for lots of.
So to raise their hand, what does that mean? Who do they get involved with? Who do they reach out to?
Well, I would. They could feel free to reach out to me.
Okay. Right?
And I, heck, I'd give my personal email out if you asked.
At the end of our conversation, I'm going to ask for.
I'm sure you'll have contact information for that.
Yeah.
They can also reach out to PIA National. So if they go on www.pianet.org/buy button, they will actually get lots of information about the buy button.
All right.
So folks know also, PIA, you know, has a role as a secretariat. all of the industry is and has been engaged for for the past couple of years in the process.
Okay. I have two last questions for you, and they're both short. The first one is, before we're done, any final words that you want to say?
Well, yeah. One, when when you're a servant to an industry or to your staff and to your team and your agency, your family, is impacted. So obviously, it's awesome to have, great wife and boys who have been mm-hmm. very patient. But mm-hmm. I will tell you, Michael, and you know this, I've coached just about every baseball game, and hey, never anything. So that's more of that. And yes, I was the baseball commissioner for my town.
Right.
So, when you get involved, you get involved. That's just that you like to do things. And, I mentioned at the start of this that one of the first things my brother did was say, go open up those boxes.
Right.
But most folks don't know. Richard and I were together in some agencies, and then we were actually separate for a while, and then we came back together about 18 years ago. So in that period of time, though, he also had his involvement in, in PIA and in builders and all sorts of
right.
things. And so it becomes easier to build a successful firm together when everybody understands the importance of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, having, a partner that was as committed to, making a better insurance industry for us to live in
right.
was also helpful. So, that was key. And honestly, Michael, with you, I was involved with a mastermind group for a long time,
right.
And with one of your previous things and helped with implement some of your technology, right?
Uh-huh.
I certainly thank and appreciate the time we've gotten to spend together.
That's been a pleasure.
And many of the folks who I've collaborated with in that group.
Right on. Thank you for that. So if listeners do want to reach out to you and connect with you on some of this conversation, how should they do that?
You're going to publish some of the contact information.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes it's easier just to say first name, last name, @gmail. Right? So KeithSavino @gmail.com. And that's risky to give out a personal email. My business email is Keith@BroadfieldInsurance.com.
Got it. Keith@BroadfieldInsurance.com.
Keith S. Yeah, yep. Like Keith Savino. Keith@BroadfieldInsurance.com.
Ah, okay. Got it. All righty. Well, Keith, been a pleasure. I can't thank you enough for the dedication and the passion and the hours and I can't even imagine how many miles you put on for this industry, but on behalf of the entire industry, to the extent that I have permission to speak for an industry, thanks for everything that you've given over the decades to make it a better industry.
I appreciate it, Michael, and the same for you. There are producers out there today that are walking around in the field with the potential of getting technology that they've been asking mm-hmm. for decades
yeah.
because of these types of podcasts and because of the efforts of guys like yourself who recognized that, as I said for years, nothing happens until somebody sells something, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, we're now at the stage where producers are finally going to receive the technology that they need
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. have been asking for
right.
for decades. And I'm very happy to help to be a part of that as well. And you've been great with that.
Yeah. Why don't let's take a very short moment and I want you to feel free to give a shout out to, because I think you're talking about a technology that you're also involved with. Give a shout out to it.
I think, for all the stuff that we've all worked on for years, it was
right.
all designed for after the sale, right?
Right.
It was, after I write the policy, I do download. After I write the policy, I could do commission statement download. If I get a claim after I write the policy, I could do first notice of loss online, or I could do claims download.
Mm-hmm.
I could do real-time inquiry on a policy
right.
or on loss runs. Or, I can do, e-doc sender messages on something I've written. The challenge has been producers in the field. So for 20 years, I've talked about bi-directional forms, right? The ability to start with forms, type right on those forms, because
mm-hmm.
that's what a producer wants to see. right, when they're in the field, and then bring it into any systems we want, or to start with our system of record, our agency management system, which is so critically important to the day-to-day operation of us, that is the sun, and then send it out to these tools that would then allow me to go and gather that. So,
right.
So I've been involved in a variety of folks over the years that, you know, that have touched on these types of solutions. I mentioned some of the names earlier, you know, vendors that have been involved. And many of our agency management system vendors have touched on it. But, mm-hmm. you know, but I have had the opportunity to work with certain insurtechs over the past few years. And, you know, you can add links at the end. But that allow me finally as a producer to go out and collect this information. Remember, my clients, remember, relationship is important, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's not like I'm just going to email them some link and say, here, you do all the work. You know, my client's going to go, that's what I pay you for. But at the same point in time, we collect the information in the field with a pen and a piece of paper. And we're still doing it in 2018. There's something seriously wrong with that. We'll be doing it in 19 and 20. So what happens is the first time we touch the data, we're doing it very manually. The second time we touch the data, we're entering it into a system to do little more in most cases than to print forms, right? That's not the first time we put it in. That's actually the second time we're doing it. So what I'm trying to do is skip that first step and have folks work directly into a system that allows them to gather the information, whether it be accord forms, company unique forms, agency forms, whatever they may be, or questionnaires, interviews per se, right? And allow them to interview that client at the point of sale. And the other kind of important step to that is, if you want it to work all the time, it has to be able to work in airplane mode. So you've got to be able to work without an internet connection. Because the first time that doesn't display on the screen, the producer's going to close it down and go right back to the pen and piece of paper. And that's the challenge we have. But thankfully, you know, those things are happening. And there's been different vendors that, you know, I've worked over decades with this, you know, Vertifor's been involved, Applied, and you know, EasyLinks and Hawksoft, and they all know what we're talking about with the challenge for the producers.
Right.
And then one of the vendors, Avyst, A-V-Y-S-T, is, you know, one of the solution providers as well that has stepped up and has built something specific for the independent agency system. So I thank them all for their commitments to the industry.
Right.
If I left names out, I really apologize.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many great folks who are trying to build things for folks who sell insurance every day. And now it's time for us to do it for the producers.
Got it. All right. Keith, this time I'm going to say goodbye and mean it. So, again, thank you so much for the time we spent today. And thank you so much for an illustrious career.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. And thank you, Michael.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking Media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.